All right. So, Perachah Bet, we read and we had a long story and song, basically, of David HaMelech. It's a very, very cool thing. This song is repeated word for word in Tehillim. Okay? Tehillim, Perek Yud Chet, with slight minor changes, is word for word what we have in here, Shmuel Bet, Perachah Bet. Without getting into it, this causes a problem for all the people that try to figure out what's in between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? You ask the average person who's never seen Nevi'im and Ksuvim, they say, oh, Nevi'im was written, you know, through Nevuah, and Ksuvim wasn't. Well, it's sort of hard to say the exact same parrot. One of them is written with it and one without. It's word for word the same thing. Right? Even without getting into the fact that you have the same people, some Nevi'im, who wrote books in, you know, say like Eicha by Yirmiyahu. Right, Eicha's in Ksuvim, Yirmiyahu's in Nevi'im. So I don't know, maybe you come up with the idea that he had Nevuah for one, he didn't have Nevuah. Here it's exact same words. So it's somewhat problematic. And you have to come on to other ideas how to understand Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which I'm not going to get into right now, but there is a lot written on this. According to the Barbanel, the changes made in Tehillim were to make the Mizmor less personable and more appropriate for communal use. That's what Tehillim is. Like tefillot that we say at times, emotional times, sad times, happy times, whatever, all sorts of things, and therefore just to make it a little bit more communal. The beginning of the Mizmor deals with David's miraculous salvation from his enemies. Right? The word Yeshua is mentioned 9 times. I found it interesting when I was looking at my notes now, I remembered, first of all, this is the bookend. We have 2 bookends in Sefer Shmuel. All the way in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Bet, we have the Song of Chana. All the way at the end of Shmuel Bet, here in Perek Bet, we have the Song of David. Okay? Otherwise, we don't really have poetry in here. We have, songs at the beginning, at the end, and it hit me when I was writing down here, 9 times said the word Yeshua. In Chana's song, 9 times said Hashem's name, and from that we learned that 9 brachot on Rosh Hashanah. So I don't know if there's any significance about 9, but I thought it was just interesting that the 2 songs, 9 times there it's Hashem, here it's 9 times the Yeshua, the salvation, clearly means salvation of Hashem. This is a type of hoda'ah that's reminiscent of Uzziah Shir. David is thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the miracles that he saw in his life. But what's more amazing is that there are no open miracles in his life. Right? Am Yisrael sang at Uzziah Shir when we saw an open miracle. Right? The sea split. We walked on dry land. Then it came crushing down on the Egyptians. That was amazing. Of course we sang. No open miracles happened in David's life. And yet this song is as joyous as Uzziah Shir. He gives Hashem credit for all the Nis and Nisarim. Right? The Ramban talks about this, that the idea of a Nis Nigla is to appreciate the Nis Nistar. Right? God is involved in everything. If sunrise would only be once a year, we would all sit there counting down the days when we're going to see the sun rising. It would be an amazing thing. But we're so used to it, so it's not a big deal. Right? Mun coming down from Shemayim was no different than for us rain coming down from Shemayim, because it wasn't, you know, an occurrence that happened regularly. Seeing it as miraculous, though, is what David is able to do. David was able to be amazed at Nis and Nistarim. He was able to see Hashem giving him the strength. Every victory that David has is attributed to God. No blame is ever put on God. Right? You see it even in Ashrei. It's a very cool thing. Right? We started talking about Ashrei a little bit in the morning, right? What's the pasuk that's missing in Ashrei? What? A nun. Now, if you look in the Dat Nikra, Tehillim, and look up Perek Kuf Mem Hei, pretty sure you can pick it out now and look while I'm talking. In a footnote on the bottom, it says, any of you guys ever been to the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dead Sea Scrolls are in that little white Hershey's Kiss building next to the Israel Museum, right? You see the Dat Mikra is the one to your left, that's that. Look, the Tehillim, Kuf Mem Hei, so it'd be volume 2. If you go to the Dead Sea Scrolls, they have every single book of Tanakh except for Megillat Esther. Okay? Why, I'm not sure. But they found scrolls, every single thing. And I remember seeing in here that in the Dead Sea Scrolls on Tehillim, they have a Nun Pasuk. Right? It's sort of weird when you think about it. Like what? There's no good Pasukim that go with Nun? As we say, oh, because, the Gemara tells us, because we didn't want to say Nafal, because, you know, Israel fallen. But we couldn't think of other words with Nun that are nice words? I don't know.
I thought it'd be the other way. Bad
for all the other ones also. Right. I mean, look at Eicha. That's alphabetical, and every pasuk is bad, right? And Nun, we have Niflaot, Nora. I don't know. What's the nice things we can use? So it's sort of weird. I'm assuming that the people of the sect of the Dead Sea Scrolls, they thought they were missing something, and therefore they added a pasuk. But I think it fits in with what I'm saying about David. David HaMelech. That's what the Gemara is trying to say. Doesn't look at Nefilot being from God. Nefilot, we fall. What's God? He's Somech L'chol Anoflim. We cause our own downfalls. Right? We, I don't know, don't eat properly, don't exercise, and then we get ill. God then heals us. Right? We get agitated and, you know, get all sorts of antsy about things and give ourselves an ulcer. Right? But God didn't give it to us. We brought it upon ourselves. So that's what David HaMelech here. David HaMelech, he sees HaKadosh Baruch giving the strength and every single thing that he did. And therefore, it's very similar to Shirat Hana. David credits Hashem with all the success. Hashkachat Hashem is the theme in both of these songs. You found anything or you didn't find it? Aaron, you found it?
What power?
Kuf Mem Hei. I think I saw it there. I definitely have seen it. See this idea, but I'm pretty sure in the Dat Mikra, in the footnotes in the bottom, it brings down this idea. Anyway.
It's the second volume, so.
Are you in volume two?
Okay.
Okay. Now, Pasuk Aleph. Let's make a Pasuk Aleph here. They deber David LaHashem et divrei Hashira Zot. Biyom Yitzil Hashem Oto Mikav Kol Oivav Umikav Shaul. He says this song when he was saved by all his enemies and from Shaul. Why do you think Shaul gets his own special mention?
The famine just happened for 3 years because of it?
Famine happened because of Shaul, so he's getting his own special mention. Okay, what else? Why is Shaul mentioned for
Fran? Tried to kill him so many times.
Okay, good. There's two totally opposite ways of understanding it. According to the Radak, because he was the first and most persistent enemy in David's life, he has his own special, you know, name in the pasuk.
But did David really consider him an enemy?
Oh, the Yabar Ben El is exactly what you said. The Yabar Ben El says, Mikol Evav, and from Shaul, because David would not say that Shaul is my enemy. Right? Shaul wouldn't view him as an enemy, and therefore, that's why he is, you know, is written. He never hated Shaul. He didn't feel bad for Shaul. You know, he was scared of Shaul. I didn't view him as an enemy. I didn't hate Shaul. Okay, very nice. Two different ideas. Look at Chavav and Chavzayin. Rani, read out loud in English, 26-27.
With the devout, you deal devoutly. With the one who is strong in his wholeheartedness, you act wholeheartedly. With the pure, you act purely. With the corrupt, you act perversely.
What very famous principle is seen in these two psukim? There you go. Meet the Kenegamita. Right? David is saying, the way people act, that's the way you deal with them. Okay, very nice. Now, Rav Yosef Kara was a contemporary of Rashi. He was an ancestor of Rav Yosef Kairo. So it sounds weird because people get confused. I remember when I went to Rav Yosef Kairo's shul in Tzfat, like a family tree, and went back to Rav Yosef Kara. He's found in the Mikros Gedolos on Nevi'im. And he's a Pashtun. And what he says, that in this song, many of the verses that seem, you know, I don't know, ambiguous, are hints towards different events. So we'll just read them and I'll point out, at least according to him, what he says. Read Rani, go to 19. Aaron, you find anything yet? Well, it's not there. Look between the mem and the samach. See if you find something. I'm pretty sure it was in a footnote, but anyway. But keep looking for that nun. You do that. Anyway, yes. Ronnie, read 19.
They confronted me on the day of my misfortune, but Hashem was as poor unto me.
So, according to Rav Yosef Kara, these were people that tried to mess David up. What people did we have that tried to mess David up?
Of Solomon?
Not even. People like they have misfortune. I'm gonna give you first letters. Dalad.
Doeg,
good. Aleph. Not of Shalom. Achitophel. And he says, and the Ziphim. Right? The people that were gonna give him up and say, oh, he's out here. Just saved us, but yeah, he's behind him. So here are these people. Okay, good. Chav Dalad, read 24. Alright, whenever you find something, just let me know.
I found it.
Good. Do you find anything about that, the Dead Sea Scrolls? You find the pasuk that they have in there? Okay, Ron, you just keep going. He might take him a while. Yes.
I've been perfectly innocent with him, and I was vigilant against my sin.
Who do you think that's referring to? I've been perfectly innocent with him. I was vigilant against my sin.
Oh, yeah.
What? David talking about what? Shaul. The way he treated Shaul. Right? I was innocent with him. I didn't do him. I was vigilant. I did not sin against him.
No, it says in post-Twitter verse, for him, it says it's capitalized.
Fine. That I'm telling you, this is Rabbi Yosef Kara's interpretation of it. Okay? Because it doesn't say Hashem in the Hebrew. It just says lo. For him. Okay? The capital H, is probably, you know, a different parish. 29. Ronnie.
For you are my lamp, Hashem. Hashem illuminates my darkness.
Okay. According to Rabbi Yosef Kara, that was the war against Amalek that went through the night and, you know, lit up the night from. Okay, the next one. 30.
For with you I smash a troop. With my God I leap over a wall.
So he's saying this continuing, the pursuing and overtaking of Amalek. And one more, 36.
Well, could a troop be... oh, never mind, it's not a specific. I was thinking maybe that's talking about... what's his name?
Which
Goliath.
One?
Goliath. Is that talking about him? Maybe, probably not.
Which one?
For with you I smash a troop.
Together with you, it helped me, like, to view... Like, troop is like a whole group of people, not just one.
Okay.
You know, he was gedud. Yeah, I'm like it was big, but it wasn't a gedud. 36.
You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your humility made me great.
So here he just says, this is Hashem protected, even gave David strategy at times in war, and we had the whole idea of waiting to hear the rustling of the leaves and all sorts of different things. Fine. Now, Aaron, I'm just checking in again. Find anything? I feel bad because, you know, it's probably not there. It's probably not there. I'm making him send a whole shield looking this up. It's probably not there.
The reviews and the guys move slowly. That's fine.
What?
It says, oh, no, because they're opposite your olive batch of them. Okay,
let's go back and see.
What?
You're
going to find it.
I am the Sikkum of Mizmor. Okay, so we have to look for it, but you're right. Later in the Sikkum of the Mizmor, it'll talk about the Nun, it'll bring in the Pasuk, but in the footnotes over here, it said check the thing. Let's see. Oh, Os Nun, here we go. Let's see. Yeah. There's a pasuk that says like this, Ne'man Hashem b'dvarav, chasid b'chol ma'asav. This is what was found. And in the Dead Sea Scrolls, Ne'man Elokim b'dvarav, chasid b'chol ma'asav. Yeah. That's what it says in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Whatever, it's hard for you to find. 23, the footnote of the Sikkum, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. I knew it was in here. Whatever, that's where it is. Right, so another very nice nun pasuk. Very nice nun pasuk.
Where are the Dead Sea Scrolls from? Like how many years ago?
Like 2,000 years.
And it has everything in the Torah?
Not every single thing, but most of it. Right? They have different parchments and stuff like that.
I saw like the parchment he saw, he saved when it was burning down.
No, it's not. It's not like a particular thing. It's just like this was their. There's a community. This was their writings. We have other stuff that they wrote as well that doesn't have to do with the Torah.
No,
it's
that
it
gave tribute to Chilkiah. There was a section in there.
Oh, you said that which parts are like Navi. Yeah, so they have different, let's say, we have sections from every book except for Esther. Okay? But we have sections, some of them more than others, but we have sections from all of them.
Was it passed down or found?
It was found. Right, this is a cool thing. When we went biking earlier in the year, we were biking near the where we found it, the Qumran Caves.
It was some random guy, right?
Whoever was near me, I explained to him, then I asked, you know, whoever our guide was to explain it to people on our bus. Yeah. But yeah, there was some Bedouin, like, shepherds, the sheep ran into a cave, and they were looking for the sheep, and they, like, dislodged something, and it fell, and then it cracked something, and they heard it sound like pottery, and they went down, and they found these pottery things that had scrolls in it, and they ended up, you know, they didn't know exactly what it was, and they sold it, and it's like the greatest archaeological find. It goes back 2,000 years.
What? It confers on the Torah is like exactly the same. No, yeah, not speaking of it.
Right. Awesome. It's like, you know, the older Sefer Torah that we had was the Aleppo Codex. But that only went back till about like 11, you know, less than 1,000 years. This goes back 2,000 years. It was a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Right? Anyway. Okay. The last pasuk, that famous pasuk, we have Migdal, right? Migdal Yishos Ma'akov Yosef Cheslim Shichol David Zar Ad Olam. Now, what's interesting is, turn to Tehillim Yudchet, the parak that I told you.
Psalms
for those who speak Psalms. The last pasuk of that, and what does it say? Page 1450 in the art scroll. Read in Hebrew? Anybody?
I don't have it.
Okay, I'll do it. Magdil Yishuel Smalko. So, what do we have in Shmuel Bet? Migdal. What do we have in Tehillim?
Magdil.
Magdil.
And let me have brackets that it tells you how to read it.
We have a Kriyuk Siv. Right. But here it's written Magdil, but read Migdal. And in Tehillim, it's written Migdal and read Magdil. So, what do I make of this? And why do we have a minhag on weekdays? When we bench, we say Magdil. And on Shabbos, when we bench, we say Migdal. Anyone ever hear an idea on this? Why we switch it weekdays and Shabbos?
I did hear an idea, I do not remember.
I'll tell you what I heard, which I believed to be true my whole life, until I later on learned that it's obviously absolutely wrong. Someone told me, maybe when I was in elementary school, if not it was high school, that it was a mistake. That really, in the benching, it said, Migdal Yeshuos Malko, and they wrote next to it, Shin Bet, and they referred to Shmuel Bet, and someone else thought it was an abbreviated Shabbat. So, therefore, people started to say Shabbat. So that's Shabbat, Shabbos and Yom Tov. Oh, Shabbos and Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. Oh, anything, you don't say Muslim, whatever. It came all the crazy things that we have.
That's funny.
From a mistake. That's what I was told. I always thought that was true. But then I saw that's impossible because the Radak already talks about this. First of all, he says there's no difference between the two words. And in the Siddur Avodas Yisrael, which precedes the printing press, following the Radak, says in order not to show preference to one pasuk over the other, Chazal instituted Migdal Yemeichol, you know, Magdal Yemeichol, and Migdal on Shabbos and Yantif. Why is it before the printing press? Because only then, like, the Christians started printing the Bible and decided that Shmuel should be divided into two books, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet.
Oh.
So to sit there and say it's based on Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Bet, Shin Bet became Shabbos, well, people already discussed that there were different Minhagim before anyone ever knew there's such a thing as Shmuel Bet. So that can't be the answer. Okay? So the simple answer is no reason. Not really a very satisfying answer, but no reason. You should know a lot of the minhagim we have in davening is for that. We have a couple of interesting, let's say we found different texts how to end a bracha. So they said, you know what? On Shabbos do it this way and Chol do it a different way. For example, let's say the last bracha, Maariv. Right? So on weekdays, we have a shorter ending. And then on Shabbos, first line of Sukkah Shalmech, we make it a little bit longer. And that's basically based on, we found two different gears. So we said, okay, one day this, hopefully more flowery one on Shabbos. It was based on, we don't want to reject any. And maybe that's the real answer. But I'll tell you a cool idea. Whether it's the answer or not, I have no idea. The Yalkut Shimoni says, what does the word magdil mean?
To make big.
To make big, good. Teaches us that the Yeshua of Am Yisrael isn't immediate, but it grows. And it gets bigger. And there's an idea that Mashiach won't come on Yantif, or on Shabbos, but during the week, and we're slowly moving towards the redemption, that's like Magdil. Migdol, what does that mean?
Tower.
That's already like the tower. And that is Melech Mashiach, will be a great tower for Am Yisrael. This is what the Yalkut Shimoni says, and maybe that's why they decided Shabbos will be one way. I think it's a nice idea. I have no idea. Like I said, it could be eeny, meeny, miny, mo. But I think it's a nice idea. What is interesting, now we're in Shmuel. Look at Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud, Shmuel Aleph, Chana Song. Okay, Adam, you get that. And
Perek
Bet, Pasuk Yud. And we'll hold on to where we're up to in Migdal.
Hebrew.
Read in Hebrew.
Hashem Yechatu Mirivav. Allah Bashamayim Yareim Hashem Yadin Afse Aret Vayitin Oz the Malko Vayareim Kerem Mashiach Amen.
Yes, you're right. Vayitin Oz the Malko gives strength to Malko, to the Melech.
Yareim
Kerem Mashiach. And raise the horn of Mashiach. What's mentioned? Melech Mashiach. And how does our parak end? The bookend of Sefer Shmuel, the song Migdal Yeshuot. Malko, Melech again. Melech and Mashiach. Right? David ends the same way that Chana ended. The Rabbag adds that Beit David, if Beit David keeps the bris, they continue acting in the proper way, then Malchus will stay with them forever. But even if they don't, even without the bris, Mashiach is with Beit David forever. Why? Because by Mashiach it's Ba'oseh Chesed Limshucho. Hashem will make sure that Mashiach continues through David's house through Chesed. Even if we're not, they're not worthy. Even if we're not worthy. So Malchus, we have to be worthy for Malchus. Okay? Migdal Yeshua's Malchus. Ba'oseh Chesed Limshucho. And that's how the Ralbag understands that. Alright. Next, Perek, Chaf Gimel.